Mark Sheehan is here with the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Lynchburg. Hi, Mark.
How are you doing, Mary?
Good. We're talking about our celebrity doppelgangers. No, but that's a topic for another day. Thank you for the homemade cookies, by the way.
My wife made those cookies.
Are they chocolate chip?
They are chocolate chip.
Oh, my goodness.
Chocolate chip. Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. So, and we've been just talking about some things. You're not a game. You are familiar with Game of Thrones, but not a big fan because you don't watch a lot of TV. You're busy working with the boys and girls.
Yeah, I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I don't really know what a lot of people are talking about. And with me, I don't really care.
That's right. You gotta care, you know. So let's talk about the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Lynchburg. And for folks who are not familiar with the Boys and Girls Club, tell our listeners about it.
Well, right now, the Boys and Girls Club runs three sites, and we like to call it our pipeline. We last year in 2016, we started our teen center because our teen center was too small and inadequate to hold the teens, and we want to separate the teens from the younger kids. So we run two after-school programs, one at Jefferson Park. We took that over last year from the Parks and Rec, and we've been working in collaboration with them, having that park open, working in the Darrington area. And also we have our 6-12-year-old program at the club located 1101 Madison Street. So we're trying to create a pipeline where young people stay with the club from when they're 6 years old till they're 18. And at the end of the 18 years, they graduate from high school. And we have a plan for their future. We want them to be able to get a living wage job when they leave. The ironic part about doing all of this construction that we've been doing at the club and remodeling is that a lot of the living wage jobs are in the construction industry. We're talking about electricians, plumbers, welders, bricklayers. So there are a lot of living wage jobs that we have to start talking to our young people about.
Have you been able to use the young people, employ them as you expand?
Well, we haven't been able to employ them because
I guess you can't have like a 14-year-old electrician.
Insurance today is something that, I mean, I remember when I grew up in a boys' club in Syracuse, we had a wood shop, and we got to use the wood shop, and there was one rule: don't cut your fingers off. And that was the only rule that was in the club. But overall, yes, the kids have helped me clean up and do some of the stuff that's needed, especially in the teen center. We've had them paint and do some work like that. I think one of the best things that has come out of the teen centers, we got a full-time director, Kenitho Martin, and he's this year he's helped 11 young people get jobs. So I thought that was a very, very good thing that he did this year. Because you talk about job development and getting kids out in the market, I think the best thing to happen to a young person is get fired when you're 16. And then you come in and talk to Mr. Kenitho about that, and he says, well, why did you get fired? Well, I was an hour late. I can't understand why the manager was upset about that. And to have those dialogues, and we have some great partners with Taco Bell, Old Navy. One of our young people just got a job with Old Navy, went through a training program, went through a review process and things like that. And so it's very important to get them out in the job market soon, young, so they understand work ethic. And that will help, you know, decrease the poverty rate once we get into having young people being able to work hard and get out into the job market.
So you guys are working kind of in conjunction with the city of Lynchburg, in its effort to combat poverty. And so you are talking about fighting poverty one child at a time. And the first thing is academic success.
Yes, yes. I mean, if we don't, you can look at any statistic that you want to look at. If young people don't graduate from high school, it's going to be very hard for them to go out and get a job or go to a training school. And then if we're talking about college education, which, you know, if you're talking about college for young people, I would say go to CVCC first. Get your feet wet, understand what college is all about, and then if you can handle a four-year college, go to a four-year college. But right now we have to, I think in society in general, we have to get out to the four-year degree as an end-all, be-all. Number one, a lot of the young people, unlike my own children, they don't have a backstop. I mean, if my daughter needs book money, she, grandma will say, hey, you need book money, here's book money.
Yeah.
And so we can't send those young people out to a four-year college right away until they get the skills, until they understand the cost and the benefit of doing that right away. So we're actually encouraging young people to get a skill. You look at a lot of the jobs out there, those computer the computer jobs and security and things, that those are certificate programs that can get you a living wage job. So we have to start thinking a little bit differently, change the paradigm on where we send young people and have them think a little bit more about the future. Because a lot of those kids, you know, if you're talking about $20,000-$30,000 in debt, that's a tough nut to crack for any person.
You know, we talked a week or so ago with Christine Kennedy with the Lynchburg Regional Business Alliance.
I know Christine well.
About what employers in the area need, and she said they need skilled workers that have not only the skills but also the desire, that they have the motivation, they want to be there every morning at 8 and work their shift and show up every day and do what's required of them. That's what employers are lacking, is that motivated workforce. And how do you teach that? I mean, I wonder, do you see some of that at the Boys and Girls Club? Are you trying to work, instill that in them? Maybe because some of these kids are coming from backgrounds where they haven't been in an environment where parents are working, or they've seen that, had that as a role model.
Well, I have two issues with that. We have about 20 people on staff, so we're always staffing up and looking for people who can work hard, especially in the entry level. And we do have, this year, we had four of our previous members working for us that go to college, and one's going to graduate from CVCC. One is up to Virginia State University. Mm-hmm. He worked for us this summer, played football for him, played on the Heritage Championship team. So that work ethic is built throughout the club. A lot of it, too, is some of the sports leagues, why we're building a gym, are priced out for some of our kids. So we have to offer that health and life skills along with education and character development, because sports builds character. But if it's $120, $200 and the equipment is X number of dollars, it's very expensive to get young people into good sports league. So when we look at building that, all three components are important: the character and leadership and the health and life skills, because if you're not healthy, it's tough to go to work. The other problem that we heard the other day, and I was talking to another person, is about the use of marijuana and going out into the workplace. Because legalization of marijuana is, some of our young people think that it's a national legalization. So, you know, and you can't smoke weed. People are drug testing, especially if you're going into some of those skilled labor jobs, you're working with heavy equipment. And personally, I wouldn't want to work around someone that was driving a bulldozer that was high this morning. So I think those are some of the life skills that we have to also teach the young people. You know, the gateway drugs that are prevalent out there are still prevalent out there. I mean, everyone wants to talk about opiate addiction, but if we look at the gateway drugs too, they're going to ruin young people's lives.
You know, that's what we've heard more and more of, that one problem that employers have is this, that people can't pass a drug test. I mean, do you see even more of the kids at Boys and Girls Clubs are smoking pot than were, say, 10 years ago or 20 years ago?
I think in general, society is smoking more weed.
You're probably right.
I think that one of the thing is it's become, you know, when a young person is looking, they have a global view. So when they look at everything's legalized, they're thinking everything's legalized, and we just have to get the message out. That's one of the programs we've been running. It's called Street Smart. We have two officers that come up once a week and talk about, you know, there's a couple different things that they're talking about, but weed is one of them. Weed is illegal. still in Virginia. And that's important for young people to know so they can go out into the job market.
Well, and two, even, I know it's being studied by the Crime Commission now as far as decriminalization goes, but at some point you have to learn, even if that happens, it doesn't mean that someone is going to give you a job. Right. It doesn't mean that suddenly you might not have to take a drug test because of what you want to do. You might not end up in jail over it or something, but it still could have consequences for you.
Oh, I agree with you. And if you're working on the job, too, and I was talking to some contractors about that, is, you know, someone has an accident. You have accidents on the work site all the time. So you have to drug test someone. What happens if they smoked weed on the weekend? It doesn't leave your system. What do they do? I mean, what... That you know, they're in a conundrum there because, you know, it's so prevalent. So it's an interesting dynamic that we have to talk to the young people about.
You guys, we were talking about academic success, leadership training, and the third thing that you're working on is the healthy life choices, which is probably just what you're talking about. Just
right.
Because something might be legal, like marijuana, or might be legal in the future, doesn't mean you should do it. Doesn't mean it's a good choice for you. And that's a hard... That's a hard lesson, though, to teach to teenagers, isn't it?
Well, I've gone through, I'm on my last teenager now. This year, three of my old children will be 20.
Oh, my
goodness.
So
I have, my daughter's actually 22 today, but my youngest is 17. But that's an issue with all parents.
Yeah.
I mean, with drugs and alcohol and alcohol is so prevalent for young people too. And that there's a lot of dangers in that. And waiting till you're 21, and that's a tough thing. I mean, we all, you know, when we're younger, maybe
immortal,
did some things we didn't want to do.
Yeah.
But today it's so easy to be caught too with social media and things. So the world has changed so much. I mean, with social media and the dynamics of drug and alcohol use and you know, people are talking about OxyContin abuse, but what's stopping kids and what are barriers for young people to getting employment?
We're speaking with Mark Sheehan, the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Lynchburg, and you guys serve 160 at-risk youth right now, but you're expanding, and so how many more could you possibly reach in the future?
Well, you know, it's like an old fund development director used to say to me, all you need is money, right, Mark? But, you know, our goal is to serve about 200 young people a day. It costs about $15 a day to serve a young person. You know, if you break that out, the budget would be about $630. This year, to expand into the gym, to expand the gym area and just operationally, our cost will be about $850,000 a year this year. And then going forward, the budget, you know, be between $600,000 and $650,000 a year. So that's what it costs, and it's a great program. And the other thing about the poverty issue in that, when we serve young people and we have a working family or working mother, about 70% of the young people that we serve are working mothers. If you look at just our after-school child care program, that is licensed by the Department of Social Services, that is about $2,000 a year in a parent's pocket. And you know, you're a parent, and after school child care is very expensive. It's $17 to $20 per day, week. That's $100. So we're adding that back into the parents. A donation adds that back into a parent's pocket. So we're very proud of that. Our board is very excited about, you know, when we look at the numbers and how we're helping families monetarily through donations through Lynchburg.
Mark Sheehan, Boys and Girls Club of Greater Lynchburg, and thanks for being our coffee sponsor.
Oh, you're welcome.
So we expect cookies, homemade, fresh-baked cookies every time, every week, every Monday, okay?
I'll let Danny know.
Okay. No, but we'll be talking to you guys more in the coming weeks about the different programs that you're offering and your the new gym that you're building and all the cool stuff going on at the Boys and Girls Club, okay?
All right. Well, I appreciate your time.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.